everyone. Welcome back to Fun on Weekdays podcast. I'm your host, Jenna Palik. And before we get started, I think I need to give you a little warning that I might get emotional. This is kind of a bittersweet podcast episode. It is the last podcast with Macy's. Macy's has been our exclusive sponsor for the past 2 years. And throughout the past 2 years of Fun on Weekdays podcast, I have had 1 month off from podcasting. So I'm excited to take a little bit of a break, but I'm also bittersweet that it's ending. I don't know how long the break is going to be, whether it's a couple weeks or a couple months, but I think it'll be really good for me to just totally reset, reflect, come back better, maybe do a rebrand. I don't know. We'll talk about it, but it's bittersweet for that reason. This is also the last episode in my podcast office as well. I'm not sitting in front of the I Love Weekdays So Much wall that I painted, but in just a couple of days, it's going to be painted over white. I have to take all the wallpaper down in my office. And as I look around, I just have all these memories flooding back into my mind of all of the videos that I made trying to decorate this office. And it's crazy how fast time has flown that now I have to pack it all up and move it. But I'm excited because I'm starting fresh. I'm moving my office into my house. I bought a house and I moved in 3 days ago. I'm still in the process of getting everything into the house, but so far it's been a pretty smooth process. And I'm gonna talk about that after, but we need to talk about Barbie first and foremost. Last night, Fun on Weekdays hosted a Barbie party. We had about 65 girls come. They purchased a Barbie and then they dressed up, hair, makeup, outfit, accessories, the whole nine yards as their Barbie. We had a little costume contest at the beginning where girls would come up to the front. I asked them their name, age, where they're from, how long they've lived in Austin, and then just a little fun fact about them and their Barbie. And after the event, we collected all the Barbies and donated them to children in Austin, which I thought was very purposeful and just, I don't know, really sweet, sentimental, just knowing that the dolls are going to go to kids that will be so excited to play with them and dream about their lives and their ambitions. And after watching the movie, it just made the event so much more sentimental. And since leaving that movie theater, I have been an emotional wreck. So it seems like Barbie is the only thing people are talking about right now. And I am not upset about it at all. After seeing the movie last night, I truly think that this movie will have such a positive impact on women and the way that we treat each other and the way that we see each other and our friendships with not only our girlfriends, but also our moms and our sisters. I think that the movie really opened up a lot of our eyes to the ways that we've been allowing ourselves to doubt ourselves, discredit ourselves, and place our entire worth in the hands of a man. So the movie came out, I think July 21st. It was when we were in LA for the 5K. That's a whole nother story. I can talk about the 5K too. I was so sad at first because I wanted to see it the opening weekend, but I'm actually really happy that I didn't because I had a full week of people doing reviews about the movie and giving a very in-depth analysis about the plot and the meaning and the Easter eggs and all of the details that went into creating this like beautiful film that I think otherwise very easily could have gone over my head. I give it a 10 out of 10. It was witty, creative. You laughed, you cried, you felt inspired, and you also felt a sense of yourself in the movie. Overall, I think people are walking away from the movie with a better appreciation and understanding and empathy for all of the women in our lives. And I think that in itself is really beautiful and a huge accomplishment. So there's a couple parts of the movie that really, really got me. I was tearing up. I'm crying in my seat. I'm shoveling popcorn down my throat. And the first one was when Barbie won the Nobel Peace Prize. And they start off with all these different Barbies winning all these different awards. And when they hand them the award and congratulate them, they say something like, "Thank you, I deserve it," or "Thank you, I worked hard for this." And they are verbally validating the fact that, yeah, they should have gotten that reward because they deserve it and they got themselves there. Throughout the movie, that attitude shifts as Ken has entered the real world. He's seen how awesome it is in human land with patriarchy and misogyny and how men rule the world over here in the real world. And he takes that from the real world and brings it over to Barbie Land and just destroys Barbie Land. By the way, if you haven't seen the movie yet and I'm giving you any spoilers, just like skip through this because I don't want to ruin the movie for you. But I think the touching part about it was watching those Barbies who were once so confident and so sure of themselves slowly start to lose themselves because the Kens start taking over. And when you're watching it in such an uplifting and silly representation of what's going on, it is so clear to see that like they're in the wrong for that. But when I apply it to my personal life, I recognize the number of times that I've discredited myself. And it makes me so sad that myself and millions, pretty much everyone in the world, has ever also experienced that as well, where someone is trying to dim your light or tell you that you're not worthy or you're not good enough or you don't deserve that. You didn't work hard enough for it. It was given to you. And so we see Barbie's attitude change throughout the movie. And it wasn't until she snaps out of it at the end and she's like, no, I won that Nobel Peace Prize because I earned it. So that was really touching to see. I loved that part of the movie. And obviously one of the most talked about scenes in the movie is when America Ferrera has this beautiful, perfect, very long dialogue about how it is so impossible to be a woman, how you have to be thin, but not too thin. And you have to want to be healthy. You need to be a leader, but you can't be too powerful because you have to listen to other people's opinions and you can't squash their ideas, but you can't be too submissive. You have to be a good mom. And if you're not a mom, you have to want to be a mom. She just goes on and on to say all of these things that it doesn't matter at the end of the day, they all cancel each other out. And regardless of if you're skinny enough or powerful enough or strong enough or a great mom, you're still not enough. It's just this continuous cycle of never fully being appreciated for exactly who you are as you are. And I think that is the moment in the movie where I looked around and a lot of people were starting to tear up. And it was really powerful to see how her words were just affecting everyone in the room. And it was almost kind of like a bonding experience in some way. I don't know how to describe it. As you watch the movie, it is very easy to start looking at your sister, your friend, your mom, your grandma in a completely different light and to start empathizing with that woman in your life who you now realize has also gone through the exact same experience with you. They're going through the same challenges, not just their personal challenges of like their job or finances or anything. It's literally just the simple challenges of being a woman in general. We can all align on that. It doesn't matter what your background is, where you live, what you do, what you're interested in. At the end of the day, all women in the world have these same challenges. And it's easy to see that for people that are in your normal life. But then I started applying this to people that we watch on the internet as well. I started applying this empathy to the parasocial relationships that I have. Because think about it, you spend so much time on your phone. You're listening to this podcast right now, probably through your phone or through your radio. You're consuming content on TikTok, on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. You're constantly watching people. And a lot of times you're watching women. Over the past 2.5 years that I've been doing social media, I have experienced so much negativity. And it's not a comparison game. I'm not saying that I have it worse than anyone else. But when I look at the negativity, most of the time it is coming from women. My following is 96% female, which I'm very happy about. It is rare that men are ever on my social media pages. And if they are, they're usually gay. But part of me just really hopes that people walk out of this movie not only applying it to the people in their personal life, in their social circle, but also the people that they're watching online. And they start giving other female creators empathy. Because being on social media as an influencer, yes, of course, it's a privileged position, but it is also impossible. Because all of the challenges that you have as a woman in your daily life are amplified by social media, by millions and millions of people. And you are just never enough. People want you to be relatable, but then you are, and then you're trying too hard to be relatable, but then you aren't relatable and you're out of touch and you need to quote unquote touch fucking grass. People want you to be transparent. So you start opening up about your life and your insecurities and your acne and your relationships and your finances, but then you're too transparent. And it's like, whoa, stop telling us everything. But if you're not transparent enough, then you're hiding something and you're disingenuous. People want you to be unfiltered. So you are, and you show them your acne and your gray hair. and your cellulite, and you talk about your body image. But then they use that very thing to critique and judge you and criticize you. So then you mask it all and you use a filter, and then you're fake. People want you to talk about your relationship. So you talk about your boyfriend and how much you love him, but then it's like, whoa, your boyfriend is your entire personality and you're obsessed with your boyfriend. But then you don't talk about him and it's just assumed that you're in a horrible relationship and he hates you. You talk about your job and how much you love it and you're too prideful and you are throwing it in everyone else's face. But then you talk about the challenges of your job and then you're ungrateful. And so many other people have it harder than you, so you should just not talk about it at all. You're confident and you're not listening to anyone's opinions, but then you're not taking into account the followers that got you to where you are. But then you ask them your opinion and then you're insecure because you're relying on them for their validation and their advice. You share an accomplishment that you're really, really proud of, but then you share it too many times and now you're too flashy. Okay, I just won't talk about it then. Oh, well, now you're lazy and now you don't do anything and now you don't deserve anything that you have because we don't see you work. We don't see it. But then you show yourself working and then it's not considered work because my work is harder. It is so fucking impossible to keep up. It's impossible. It's really easy to watch people's content online and think, oh my gosh, she has this beautiful life. She's so successful. She has all these things. And you can either be really inspired by that or you can also be really jealous and feel really insecure about yourself by watching that content. And for whatever reason, whatever that is, that blame is placed on that woman. And I feel like it's just so unfair because it doesn't matter if a girl is posting really cute content that's aesthetic and she worked really hard to edit and it's beautiful and pretty, but then she went over the top and it's unattainable. Then it's an unrealistic beauty standard. Okay, so you dull yourself down and you don't do that then. You don't put in the time and effort to make content like that. But then you're lazy and you're unoriginal. There is just absolutely no winning, not only as a woman, but as a woman on social media. It is so exhausting. And I hate that I have to say this because I should just say my feelings without having to apologize, but this is not me complaining about the position that I'm in. I put myself here. I started posting online. If I didn't want people to have an opinion about my life, then I don't need to post anything at all. But like, why can't we just allow people to live? Why does there always have to be a rebuttal? There always has to be a yeah, but, or what if? There always has to be an alternative. We can never just let people be happy. I say that I like these cookies right here and someone's going to say, yeah, but Toll House is better. I've been using spironolactone and tretinoin on my acne and it's been starting to work. Oh yeah, but you should use Accutane. It's like, why does there always have to be a but? I don't get it. And when I think about the people that are continuously questioning people on social media, a lot of times it is women. And I really have high hopes that this movie helps open people's eyes to the way that they treat people online as well and gives more empathy for the creators that they spend time watching. And if you don't like their content, then just don't watch it. Just don't engage with it. Because the time that you are using your negative energy to interact with it is just taking away from your life. Like, it's not doing any good in the world. So why do it? The movie ends with Billie Eilish song, What Was I Made For? And it's Barbie reflecting and asking herself, what was I made for? I'm Barbie, but what does that mean? And oh my gosh, I just started bawling because I haven't been able to put my finger on what I've been struggling with for the past couple of years since I started social media. I've struggled with anxiety and paranoia and not feeling good enough and having self-doubt. I've made a lot of mistakes, a lot of public mistakes as I continue to live my life and try to navigate it online for everyone to watch and criticize. But I think I've spent a lot of time chasing my purpose for other people. It's like, what was I made for? Was I made to be an influencer? Was I made to be a Pilates instructor? Was I made to be a dress consultant? Was I made to be an event planner? And I haven't had a solid answer on any of those things because I've been looking for the answer in other people. And at the end of the movie, when the song plays, I realized that I hadn't been asking the question of like, what was I made for, completely aside from all of those titles. Like, was I made to make people laugh? Was I made to connect girls around the country? Was I made to inspire people? And I think What was I made for is a question that we should continue to ask ourselves throughout our lives as things change and our values and friendships and relationships evolve. And I do think that a bit of my self-doubt has come from my lack of knowledge for what I was made for, because I don't have that answer. And sometimes I feel guilty that I have a podcast where I share advice or I post on social media and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And I know that people are listening to me and I feel guilty because I feel like I'm supposed to have all the answers, but the reality is that I have no answers at all. And the thing is that there is a handful of people that like that I don't have the answers, but there's also a really big pool of people that don't like that I don't have the answers. And they say that I am all over the place and I'm throwing things at a wall and I'm seeing what sticks and I have no idea who I am. And like, yeah, you're right. I don't. But why is that a bad thing? Like, that shouldn't be a bad thing. So overall, that leads me to present life. Wanted to conclude that if you haven't seen the Barbie movie, you absolutely have to go. It truly was incredible. And I think it will be a very, very important movie for the rest of time. And I hope that they continue to make it into a whole sequel of other movies about Barbie and the struggles of womanhood. But for now, I think we should appreciate all of the great things about being a girl. I've been seeing a lot of poems about the color pink and how growing up as a baby and a young girl, you used to love the color pink. But then as you got older and boys started dimming your light and crushing your dreams, you kind of started to hate the color pink because you associated it with all of those dreams that you think are now unattainable and out of reach. And I think it's been so beautiful to watch all of the videos that people have made on TikTok celebrating their womanhood, whether it's their girl friendships or dressing up in a frilly dress, celebrating their accomplishments in their career. Because in the movie, you see that if women actually do band together and we all collectively start realizing our worth and taking it out of the men's hands, then they take over Ken World. So if we actually did that in real life, can you imagine what would happen? Like, honestly, I don't know what would happen. But you shouldn't be embarrassed for liking girly things. It shouldn't invalidate your professionalism or your qualifications. Being a girl is a huge power. And I'm excited that people, myself included, are starting to realize that after watching the Barbie movie. So like I said, I have been asking myself continuously, what was I made for? And as I wrap up my sponsorship with Macy's for this podcast, I now have so many open doors for what I can do next, whether I take a break from podcasting for a couple weeks, a couple months, and maybe I just don't do it at all, or maybe I come back to it. I don't know if I'll have that answer until I continue to search for the answer of what was I made for. But until then, this is my last podcast episode with Macy's as my sponsor. They have been so incredible to work with. I'm so fortunate that from the very start of Fun on Weekdays, they wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to support me. And so for the past 2 years, they've been the sole sponsor. I've done a shopping live with them before in New York City. I've done an event here in Austin. I've gotten to meet so many incredible girls from it that I still keep in touch with. And my sponsorship from Macy's ultimately has allowed me to create an income from this podcast to put into events and to then create an in-person experience aside from just audio. So I'm very, very grateful for Macy's, and I just want to give them some extra love in this episode because it is pretty bittersweet. And that's not to say that we're never going to work together ever again. It's just that when I first started, I signed a year-long contract for Macy's, and then I had 1 month break in between that before my next contract restarted because we renewed for a second year. So since I've started the podcast, I've only had 1 month off. And because of that, I often feel as though I didn't have enough time to thoughtfully and carefully, creatively articulate conversation that I wanted to on this podcast because life happens and sometimes you miss a deadline, sometimes travel comes up or something happens and you can't record on the day that you're supposed to. Or maybe you do record and it's like not the best thing you've ever done, but you have an obligation to get it up. And I will admit that throughout the past 2 years, there have definitely been weeks where I'm like, I don't even know what to talk about this week. Like nothing's happening in my personal life. I don't know who to have on the podcast. And I also feel as though Fun on Weekdays podcast has internally created some type of limitation for me. I don't know how to describe it entirely, but it almost feels like Fun on Weekdays is no longer a podcast. It is an event company. It is an online community. It is now a lifestyle brand. And the podcast is just this very small segment of Fun on Weekdays. And sometimes my episodes don't necessarily align with Fun on Weekdays entirely. And a lot of the conversations that I want to have and the guests that I want to have on this podcast, they don't really align with the title Fun on Weekdays. So my question to myself has been, do I rebrand the podcast and I make it more of an extension from my personal self, Jenna Palik, and it's more personal conversations about my life and things like friendships and dating, buying a house, talking to friends about marriage and roommates, or do I keep it Fun on Weekdays and I still frame it around this conversation about work and work-life balance, interviewing people about their jobs and their professions, how they got there. So because I've only had 1 month off since I very first started this, I don't think I've had enough time to sit down and figure out the correct direction to go. I don't think there necessarily is a correct direction either, which makes it a little bit harder. And I'm feeling a little bit more lost and unsure. But I will say now I'm feeling a lot more confident in my unsurance. I don't think unsurance is a word, but after watching that movie, I'm just starting to feel at peace with the fact that it's okay that I don't know what I'm doing and I'm just trying to figure it out day by day, because a lot of the people that are listening to this podcast too, you're also doing that as well. So I hope that in the next couple of weeks or however long it is that I take off from the podcast, that y'all understand that it'll only be for the better. So there's a couple other Fun on Weekdays updates that I wanted to give you, which I mentioned that I am now trying to create it into more of a lifestyle brand. Right now, I am wearing what I consider merch. This is a wholesale sweatshirt from, I think, Hanes, I want to say. Like, any person could buy this sweatshirt online and you can print your design onto it. And in my first year of doing merch, that's exactly what I did. It's the most accessible, it's the least risk, and it's the fastest turnaround because you're using products that already exist. Y'all seemed to freaking love the merch, and I kind of used it as a case study and a test to understand my audience, what you guys like in products, what kind of designs you like. And my goal was always to create a brand. Up until now, Fun on Weekdays had been more of like an idea. I mean, it was a brand, but it's intangible, more of like a media company, I guess. But for the past few months, I've been working with designers, manufacturers, product developers, and we have been creating actual garments that are custom designed, hand-picked fabric and stitching, labels, fit, the pattern, like literally everything to a T has come from a sketch drawing on a piece of paper, and you can't buy it anywhere else. So my goal is to continue creating custom goods and products for you and to make it feel less like merch. The first drop that I have, I'm so excited. It's coming out in a couple weeks. It is a cream crew neck and it has pink varsity stripes like around the neck and the sleeves and the bottom of it. I wanted to do an oversized crew neck, and the inspiration for it was from this old Ralph Lauren crew neck that I got from LA's Trading Post. I wore it so much that the inside of it, the sweatshirt was so pilled to the fact that it would scratch me because it was so balled up. But I loved the sweatshirt, the fit of it. I've always loved like a vintage varsity style sweatshirt. So I wanted to incorporate that, but make it feel a little bit more girly and a little bit more me. So it says 261 on the chest and then with Fun on Weekdays over top of it. And then all of our garments are going to have this 261 tag that will be stitched into the product, whether it's like on the sleeve or the body or the back of the neck. And 261 is meant to signify the year that I established Fun on Weekdays and the number of weekdays within that year. So the number changes every year. In 2021, when I started Fun on Weekdays, there were 261 days, which is where I got 261 from. And then the following year, I think it was 262. I want to say this year is 260. So it's not meant to be the number of weekdays in every year because that changes based on leap year, but it's meant to signify the year that I was established, because there's a lot of brands that do like EST 2020 or EST 1989, you know, and they create that as part of their branding. So I thought that that was a kind of thoughtful way to incorporate that into our new branding and tags and marketing and packaging and all that fun stuff. So it's been really, really cool to work with a team of people to bring my really rough draft sketch on a piece of paper to life. I finally got the samples for the crew neck. We have joggers and a pair of shorts that will be coming out in our first drop. and the samples came back. I was honestly expecting them to be bad. Like the fit of them, I thought was going to be off. I thought the color would be off, or I wouldn't like the tag or something. Everything was perfect. I was shocked. I'm like, what is the catch here? Because there's gotta be a hurdle. Fortunately, there wasn't. So I'm taking the samples with me to Hilton Head. I am leaving tomorrow morning for a family vacation with my parents, sisters, their husband and boyfriend, my cousins, grandma and papa. The whole family is showing up to Hilton Head Island. So if you see us there next week, come say hi. But I'm going to take the samples to Hilton Head. I'm going to take pictures on the beach. I'm going to try and take some promo photos. And I'm redoing my website right now. So the photos will be revamped. If you go to our website right now, there's been blank product images that I just haven't changed because the website is supposed to be deactivated right now. So don't look at that. just ignore it. So we're going to revamp it. And I'll let you guys know on our Fun on Weekdays and my personal Instagram when the drop date is, but sign up for our newsletter in the meantime, because we'll share some updates in there. So I'm really excited. There's just like so many opportunities for Fun on Weekdays to evolve and continue to grow. And we just recently celebrated 2 full years. So 2 years down, we have 60,000 girls in our Facebook group. There are group me's for every single major city in the US. We also have group me's for Canada and other countries. This year so far, we've already hosted over 10 events. We've given back so much money to charity. We've connected so many girls, and the opportunities for Fun on Weekdays, truly, they're limitless. They're endless. But in order to know what direction to go, I need to ask myself, what was I made for? And that will help me better make a direction of where to start. Last weekend, we hosted a 5K in LA, which, oh, talk about girl bossing too close to the sun. You know that saying. It definitely applied to me last weekend. I, at the beginning of the year, said that I wanted to run a 5K. Connor's family is a turkey trot family. And I aspire to be that, but I'm just not. And I really wanted to get into running this year, which I think is actually cool because so many girls on TikTok right now are starting to get into it. And it's very motivating and inspiring. So I was like, I'm going to run a 5K. But then I thought, why not just host it myself? So we did that exactly. And the event itself, I am shocked. There were no hurdles. There was not a single issue. Usually it's like, okay, something was printed incorrectly or something wasn't shipped in time, or, you know, you're working with vendors across the country. So sometimes the expectations are a lot higher and you get there and you're disappointed and you have to fix things, but no, everything was perfect. The t-shirts, the medals, the snacks, the food, the tents, everything to a T was exactly what we planned. And I am so proud that we pulled it off. Like, we fucking did that. We hosted a fucking 5K with none of our team ever having run a 5K ever. And it was the best one, might I add. It was so fun. We had girls there like all morning. Our sponsors were Halo Top. They were giving out ice cream all day, low calorie, got protein in it, so you don't feel guilty eating your ice cream, but also you shouldn't feel guilty eating it anyways because it's good. They were also giving away their own merch. Allison Cooch was their captain, and Team Halo Top actually won the 5K. And then we had Team Isle of Paradise with Christy Howard as their captain. They were giving away full-size self-tanning waters. I love that stuff. It's so good to spritz on your face. It doesn't make my face break out either, surprisingly, because a lot of other tanners do. They also gave away serum. They had these Glow on Weekdays custom tote bags, super cute. And then Team Bumble, their activation was awesome. It exceeded our expectations. They gave away a ton of Bumble branded merch. And then they had this really cute lemonade stand from a local girl in LA that they were giving lemonade away for. And their captain was Samira Ahmed. And our presenting title sponsor was Garmin. And Garmin has been working with us to plan this event for months. So to meet their team in person and see how excited they were about the event was really, really cool, because up until a few weeks ago, it had all just been on paper and we were just hoping that it was going to work out exactly to plan, and it did. So they brought a ton of watches. They had girls demo their watches. A couple girls actually ran with the watch on so they could see what it's like to run. They gave away 2 watches at the event, and they also gave away their own Garmin branded merch as well. So it was a really fun morning. Overall, huge success. Obviously, there is always going to be like a learning takeaway from events, and that being for this one was people who, you know, they like to party. A lot of girls in LA said we wanted a Fun on Weekdays event in LA, but we thought it was going to be a cute social happy hour type thing where you get to dress up and there's cute decorations. And so I'm listening to all of that. I'm taking people's feedback with grace. I'm not feeling offended by any means. We just learned that maybe a 5K would make more sense closer to Texas or on the East Coast, maybe not in LA. And that's okay. We ended up having 325 runners. And then there were some friends and family that came. We had workers there. Overall, I would say there were probably a little over 400 people there, but the space felt very full and our max capacity was 1,000 people. So, you know, our numbers were about 32% of our max capacity, but I'm not going to let the number of registrations keep me from viewing the event as successful because our sponsors were incredibly happy. The people who came to the event were incredibly happy. And at the end of the day, the number isn't as important as the quality of events. We did a huge event in Chicago with 800 people. And the feedback from that was there were too many people and it took too long to get a drink there. It was impossible to get food because people would grab it right away. And so we learned that just because there is a capacity doesn't necessarily mean that you need to hit it because the quality of the guests doesn't always match that. So overall, the 5K was a huge success. I'm really, really proud of our team. We did a couple fundraising events as well because our registration numbers were low. And if we were to hit our registration numbers, we definitely would have hit our $25,000 donation goal, but we didn't. So we didn't have nearly as much profit from the actual 5K. So we're still running numbers. The only thing that I'm waiting for is just the number of merch sales because we sold hoodies for the 5K. And we just have to figure out the cost of shipping, the cost of the product, and then take away taxes and all that stuff and figure out what the actual gross profit is from that and add it to our other fundraising events. And then I will share the actual total on the Fun on Weekdays Instagram. But my guess is going to be around, I don't know, if I had to guess, maybe like just under $10,000, which is still a lot of money. And Team Halo Top won, so it's all being donated to the March of Dimes. That's the charity that Allison Cooch asked to represent. And so it's still a ton of money. It's still giving back. At the end of the day, it was still a big success. We didn't hit our goals, but that's okay. We learned from it. And then the last update that I have for you as I sign off for the next couple of weeks was that I just bought a home. I moved in about 3 days ago and I've slowly been moving everything over from my clothes and furniture and pillows and everything, trying to make it a home. And it has officially started settling in that I fucking did that. Like, again, I hosted a 5K. Like, we did that. I said I was going to do it. And we did that. We did that on our own. I bought a house. I did that on my own. Like, that is something to be so proud of. And I don't care if I post it and people say that I'm being annoying about it or that I'm like throwing it in your face. It's like, oh my gosh, it brings me back to the point about Barbie. It's like, why can we not celebrate our accomplishments? Like, you can, but only to a certain extent. I am very proud of myself. I never thought I'd be in a position to be purchasing a home when I'm 25 years old on my own. But I'm only able to do that because of all of the people that listen to my podcast and follow me on social media, interact with me, come to events, purchase merchandise, like all of those things, the ways that you guys support me have made it possible to be in a position to buy a home. And I'm eternally grateful for that. Don't want to discredit that at all. But there have been some questions about the house, such as, is Connor moving in with me? Yes, he is. Connor's moving in. Quincy is living with us. And there seems to be some controversy about it. I don't really know why, but I don't want to buy a house with someone and have it in both of our names unless we are legally married. Because like, what happens if we break up? I wouldn't want to be the one to lose the house. Like, how do you even figure that out? Figuring out who keeps the dog after a breakup is hard enough, let alone a house. So yes, he is living with me. He is helping me pay my mortgage. It's honestly no different. If we weren't living in my house, we'd be living in a different person's house and we'd be paying our landlord. And our rent to our landlord would be paying their mortgage. So it's really not different. We've had a lot of conversations about finances and what we want to split. and what the ratio is of mortgage, because it's not going to be 50-50. My office is within our house, and so that's an expense that I would have had to pay for regardless. I'm not going to tell you the numbers because it really doesn't matter, but just other finance things like paying for the pool, paying for a washer and dryer, some of the things that we have to buy for the house, or, you know, buying a lawnmower or outdoor patio furniture or a grill if we want one. So we've had conversations about all of those finances, and they've all been really good conversations. Like, I think talking about finances can be a little overwhelming and scary because you don't necessarily know what the other person's reaction is going to be or if they're going to be uncomfortable about it. But we have always had very, very strong communication when it comes to expectations about finances and both of us contributing to the lifestyle that we both want, and also to our expectations of the house and taking care of it in general. So the night before we moved, I actually thought this was really sweet of us. We sat down on the couch and we wrote an entire list of all of the rules that we want to create when we're moving into the new house. So when we lived in our first apartment together, it just happened so fast that we never set any expectations. We never set any boundaries. It was just kind of like, we're living together. It's a free for all. We're both taking care of things, but there was no routine to it. And then we moved into the next house and it just kind of carried over again because we had gotten so used to like, okay, I'll do it this week, you do it next week. I'll buy the toilet paper now, you buy it the next time. You know, we just kind of like fell into that, but there was no routine of what days are we going to clean? Who's going to take care of the yard now that we have to take care of a yard, and just setting expectations. So we made a whole list of rules and it was actually a really good bonding experience because it made us really, really excited and hopeful for the future and the life that we're going to build in this house together. And it just felt like we were really on the same page and level setting expectations so that there isn't any miscommunication and it's just very clear what each of us are responsible for. So his number one was no packages in the living room, dining room, like in the main area. All of my packages need to go upstairs into my office. And that's valid because in our last house, I would stack up PR boxes on the dining room table and I would just leave them there for weeks. And eventually we couldn't eat dinner on that table. And then my shit would just be everywhere. And so that's a valid rule. Some other rules, and not necessarily rules, but like guidelines, I guess, was Sundays we are going to clean together in the morning, and then we're gonna go grocery shopping together for the week. And on Sundays, that's gonna be our whole reset day, where after we go grocery shopping, we'll make a list of the meals that we're gonna make that week and be on the same page of, okay, I have an event now, you have a thing going on for Waterboy that you're gonna be at work later for this day. And so Sundays are going to be that day where we are doing everything together and taking care of the house. Connor is taking care of the pool and the yard. He told me that he was doing that. I was like, you are? Like, I don't have to ask for that? And he's like, no, why would you take care of the yard or the pool? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I bought the house. I guess I just kind of assumed like that I would. He's like, I would never make you do that. I'm obviously going to take care of everything. So I'm like, oh my God, okay. the bar is so low, you guys. The bar is so low that he says he's going to mow the lawn. I'm like, oh my God. So he's going to mow the lawn and take care of the pool, put the chlorine in it, and, you know, all that stuff. I don't really know what I'm doing with it, so I'm glad that he's taking that upon himself. And then there were just some other rules that we made too, like don't leave any dirty dishes in the sink or on the counters before we go to bed, because we were definitely guilty of that in the last house. We would eat dinner super late and we would watch TV while we ate on the couch because, like I said, the dining room table was always messy and full of my shit. And then it'd be so late that we wouldn't want to do the dishes. We'd throw them in the sink. We go to bed, wake up early. I go and teach bar. I don't have time to do it in the morning. He's going to his workout class. Neither of us want to do it. And then it's like mid lunch and these dishes have been sitting in the sink. So we're not doing that here because we are being cleanly and we are taking care of our space. I feel like this is a really good example of me being too transparent and then me telling you something about my living habits and someone then judging me for it and being like, ew, you're gross. Like, it's such a good example. I know someone listening to this is probably thinking that. So we made this list of all of the rules, and then we also made a list of all the things that we need to buy for the house. And so basically what we're going to do is, like, whenever there's something that comes up, we're both going to pay for things. Like, I paid for a washer and dryer the other day because I was the one that just put in all the information and did it at the store. And then the other day he paid for movers. And so we're just going to like basically keep track of all of the moving costs. And then at the end, we'll total it up and figure out like what the total is and then split it, just so it's not like we're not Venmo requesting each other every time we buy a roll of toilet paper or a paper towel or a cleaner or anything. So we're just kind of like taking turns and then we'll figure it out in the end. These past few weeks, I've had this overwhelming feeling of, well, A, gratitude, but also peace. And it's so nice and comforting because I finally feel like my mind and my life are at peace. And I'm like starting to become more comfortable with myself and be more comfortable with my self-doubt, be more comfortable with what I'm doing in my life and not always having the answer for that. And as I move into a new house and I'm building that life, I've just felt very safe. I don't know. My realtor, bless her heart, she's literally the sweetest girl in the entire world. She's one of my good friends, Casey. I met her at an event a year and a half ago and we've been friends ever since. And then I found out she's a realtor. I'm like, oh my gosh, win-win. Like you can help me find a house and then you can get an awesome commission. So her housewarming gift to me was a crystal and it's this beautiful stone crystal on the inside. It's like white and sparkly. It's so beautiful. And she put chakra on the crystal. She's really, really into wellness and like sound healing and meditation and all those things. So she put chakra on it to basically create this invisible imaginary boundary from the street of my road at the end of my driveway to my house to the end of my property line. And this crystal is supposed to ward off any negative energy, anything that is making me feel unsettled or unsafe or uncertain. And I don't know. I honestly believe it. I mean, I'll believe anything that you tell me, but I've felt it. And it's the strangest thing because I don't know how to describe it. Like all the anxiety that I had in our last house and the paranoia that I had every time I would get home or every time I would leave, I just don't really feel that anymore. And it's a really peaceful feeling. It's great. And I am really happy to continue exploring that as I figure out what the heck I'm going to do in the next couple of weeks. But I won't be MIA at all. We'll still be posting. We'll still be planning events. I'm just going on vacation for a week. I'm being so dramatic about it. But that is the end of today's episode. I just wanted to remind you to be extra appreciative of all the women in your life and especially all the women you've maybe met through Fun on Weekdays. I'm so thankful for all of you, all of your continued support throughout the past 2 years. Thank you for celebrating our anniversary with us. And thank you so much for following along with my life as I try to figure out what was I made for. And I hope you continue to ask yourself that as well. I don't know when the next time I'll talk to you on this podcast is, but until then, I hope whatever you want in life, you make it happen and love you. Bye.